Welcome to the World Service Conference 2020 Virtual Fellowship Day. My name is Shauna and I'm compulsive debtor. The topic for this workshop is Tradition 10, 11, and 12. Maureen, you want to take it away?
So I'm Maureen and I'm a compulsive debtor. And thanks everybody for coming to the Fellowship Day. And we've been on, this will be our fourth workshop. And then after that, we have another keynote speaker, Carol B. from Portland, and then we have the talent show and the dance. So it's like nonstop fun. The last I knew, well, Michaeline sent me the count. There was 450 registered, 477 DA and 52 from Dead and On, a total of 529. Unbelievable. I had no idea it was going to be this big. So that's great. So I'll just say I've been in DA for 17 years. My solvency date is April 15th, 2005, and I define solvency five ways. I'm solvent today if I haven't bounced a check, I paid my bills on time, I haven't borrowed anything without collateral, I paid for goods and services at the time of use, and I don't use a credit card. So that was told to me in my first meeting where I got solvent in Burlington, Vermont from this gentleman, Jan. He wrote it down on a piece of paper. I still have that piece of paper. And that was my primary purpose. That was my first definition of primary purpose, which to me, I think is the main thing of all the traditions. But, you know, not having an opinion on outside issues, hence the DA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. In the first paragraph, which I love this book, I'm so glad we have our traditions book. So it says a way to keep our program to keep it viable and vibrant. I kind of like that because I certainly feel like we're having a vibrant World Service Conference. I can't believe it. Because viable is, you know, viable means there's meetings, there's people, but when it's vibrant, people just want to come back all the time and, you know, push through it. But doing a lot of service with the host committee over the last, like, way over a year and a half now. And it says conflict in human affairs is inevitable. I don't like that. I just think if I do my steps and, you know, work and inventory, that it's never going to be, I'm never going to have any conflict, which I'm having some conflict in my business life right now. And I'm thinking there's times to use people in the program and there's times to hire a professional. And I think that I might need to do that. Conflict brings with it a desire to control. I'm a voting delegate as the host committee chair. And so I went through, was in convocation this afternoon and the meetings last weekend. And, you know, Robert's Rules of Order makes things very civilized. You know, it's a short conference, so you get two pros, two cons, end of story, vote through the polling. I think it makes things go very smoothly. What else does it say in here? A spiritual solution to our common problem. Sharing the message of hope and recovery. I love doing that. I have, I don't know if I say I have good recovery, but I've been solvent since, you know, April 15, 2005, and I have prudent reserves and I have health insurance. And I've had this one client for over 5 years. And I mean, never stayed in a job more than 2 years. It was like, I was out of there. I would leave without a job. I would just put myself in such precarious positions. Says we don't impose our views on people who are seeking recovery. I mean, it's so easy to get off track and have an opinion on outside issues, whether it's religion or politics, or I just think that's so important to just, you know, people like, well, everybody has the same politics or everybody makes fun of this religion. Like, no, it separates people and it distracts us from not incurring new unsecured debt. We need to avoid subtle manifestations of injecting outside issues into sharing at meetings. You know, I don't know. I'm just kind of what a friend would say, I'm kind of orthodox. It's like, just even like I used to kind of in my story, talk about my profession and what I do and people have come up to me and asked me a question about it or, I was talking about how I didn't know how to decorate my apartment one time. Like, I'm just not really intuitive about that. And this woman came up, who's a designer, and she wanted me, you know, she was telling me about her business. And it was like, I'm just kind of stunned sometimes, you know. But on the other hand, I don't know if this is outside issue, but, you know, we're hiring a DJ and she's in the program. You know, we're doing the talent show, but that's like nobody's getting paid to do that. We have our Zoom host, Derek, who's amazing. that it's great that VA is able to hire outside professionals when we need to, and you know, maybe we'll keep using them. I love the last sentence, we create a safe, respectful, and welcoming place for anyone seeking relief. It needs to be safe. I think it needs to be friendly. It needs to be informative. I go to a meeting at 7 a.m. and there's a newcomer greeter portion section after, and they tell people to go to getting started. Like, just take the message from the website, you know, about things to do. You know, PRG is not my favorite thing to do, but you know, steps, traditions, anonymity. I think service is huge to do right from the beginning. You know, if you can read the steps, read the traditions, be the timekeeper, it just puts you right in the middle of the program, which I think is important for me, because the service pamphlet talks about isolation. Like, and I'm still really not that good at connecting with people. I know people have spent hours and hours in the hospitality room. I'm like, oh my God, unstructured conversation. What would that be like? I'd rather be like organizing things and keeping lists. So it's okay to find service that suits our personality. What else does it say? Let go of distractions and when confronted with outside issues, just refocus on recovery, experience, strength, and hope. And what else do I want to say? Potential disruption in our sharing the message of hope and recovery far outweighs any good that the fellowship might do by taking a public stand on an issue. I mean, there was the delegates got to go to Open Share, the open board meeting, was that yesterday? Which was such wonderful experience, and the host committee members were able to go as well. And just to see the board in action, and like people are dressed up and they're very professional and they're very respectful of each other. And one of the topics was, you know, because now we can get the literature online, like you can get all of the pamphlets through Kindle, Amazon. And you know, how does that made so it's not, we're not like endorsing them. And it was such a good decision because we're gonna have more literature, and it's so much easier for people overseas if they don't have to pay shipping to go online. But what are ways around it? You know, just anyway, there are board members on the call who can describe it more than me, but people think about that. That's what our board thinks about. You know, we want to follow the traditions. And what else? Public controversy. You know, I love being opinionated. I love knowing everything. I like people saying, oh, you're, you know, I've thought of something, I've thought it through, so everyone else should just follow me. And that's like so opposite of like business meetings and conferences. Like everybody gets an opinion, you know? And I love concept 9, which talks about we don't shoot from the hip. Like if we have an opinion, it is our responsibility, I think, to express it. But and express it in a way that's not bullying or not necessarily passive either, but just state your point, you know, have a well thought out argument, so to speak. It says some who do not agree with a public statement. We read, and I'm the host committee chair, and we read a tradition. Most, we've been meeting every week for like 2 months. And so we read a tradition at the beginning. And we read this tradition. And so there was a good example. There was some really good examples of, there was a gentleman who said at the meeting in New York, there was a bank who was doing like whatever illegal practices, and people were talking about it. And that was breaking the traditions, an outside issue. And he happened to get a PRG, giving a PRG to someone he'd never met. As it turns out, that man like worked for the bank. And it's like, if he had heard that kind of trashing of his business, he would have never come back, you know? So we just have to be careful. I think that thinking of like everybody would, you know, have the same opinion.
1 minute.
Thank you. Just focus on the steps, the traditions, the concepts, the tools, I think, and you can't go wrong. And I also think it's important to focus on the solution, you know? Or even if I have a problem, like incorporated, like what am I doing about it? So yeah, desire to control. This needs to be neutral territory. So I think that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is Jeff. He's going to be speaking on tradition number 11.
Hi, I am Jeff, a compulsive debtor and under-earner, GSR from the Saturday 4:15 New York City-based Sought Through Prayer and Meditation meeting. I'm nearly 27 years in DA, 12 days away. I got out of debt, and after a hiatus, I relapsed and redoubled my DA. And now I have 457 days today of not incurring new unsecured debt. I'm serving on the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus and the Resource Development Committee. I'm finishing my step four with a sponsor. I'm giving and receiving pressure relief groups. And I am humbled and grateful to be speaking today. Here is tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. There's a lot of guidance out there in DA literature and on the DA website for the traditions, and 11 alone that DA provides you can avail yourself of should you wish to do a deep dive. So I get to do a 10-minute digest of 11. And what I'm about to say here, it consists of quotes or condensed notes from DA publications. Some interpretation, but besides personal anecdotes, it's mostly DA's viewpoints, but you'll know when it's mine. I see much confusion, contention, and controversy, three C's, around outreach at some local business meetings in DA, and then no outreach takes place. But wait, to eliminate those three C's, we are blessed to have a public information committee of the World Service Conference, PI for short, and a PI committee of our General Service Board, who are into the 11th tradition weeds and who liaise between each other and with the Worldwide Fellowship. And we also have DA's 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, and 12 Concepts book. We have a free downloadable PI manual, and we have fellowship PI-wide trainings. We can elect a PI officer at every DA meeting, and all of them are supported by the Worldwide Fellowship. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. DA was my first program. I don't recall how I found you, perhaps in the late 80s at a peer counseling service where I had volunteered, I heard of it. Definitely my higher power led me here. But other than those funneling in through other 12-step programs, think how you found DA, and would you have come in sooner if there were information out there? Or perhaps there was, perhaps a psychotherapist, a church bulletin, etc. Those are from our tradition. So 11 begins with attraction rather than promotion. For me, attraction has been subtle. I'll say, here's a program that helps me. Feel free to check it out if you wish. And here's the DA pamphlet. And promotion is like marketing the program, like improve your credit score or your exclusive ticket from poverty to wealth, only in DA. We don't do that. On page 110 of the 12, it says, promoting DA with silver bullet promises is inconsistent with the nature of DA recovery. Most of us can attest results may vary, right? From the DA manual, we don't drag people, from the DA PI manual, it says, we don't drag people in with paid advertising, such as in newspapers, on radio, or billboards. We only share our experience, strength, and hope. So why can't some of our celebrity members put out a DA pitch? That could backfire. First of all, DA is then associated with a particular person. Second, DA's success would rise or fall based on them, let alone personal anonymity breach, which segues into anonymity. What about promoting DA in private conversations? Remaining anonymous at the personal level is a personal choice. The principle of attraction applies here as well. We don't make guarantees or demands. On page 108 of the 12, here are some suggested 11th tradition attraction activities. Info booths at health fairs, publish meeting times and locations in print and online community calendars.
5 minutes.
Thanks. Flyers at the local library, church, or community bulletin board. Arranging PSAs, public service announcements, with local radio stations. This is all in the spirit of attraction. And more from the PI manual, outreach to consumer credit counseling services, bankruptcy judges, bankruptcy lawyers, doctors, accountants, employee assistance programs, senior citizens organizations, 24-hour crisis hotlines, hospitals, recovery treatment centers, and free clinics. The PI manual contains samples of attraction-based letters we can write those places and flyers we can post. DA also has audio PSAs available. Tradition 11 even tells us we can talk about our fellowship, but we don't associate our names and faces with it. We don't also hint at our membership directly or indirectly. For example, we don't say, I'm in a debt-related 12-step program. So, well, what about anonymity? Wait, isn't that the next speaker? But yeah, some PI activities require identifying ourselves as a contact. With the media, we first need to explain anonymity. On TV, podcasts, radio, etc., we don't allow recognizable images as ourselves. Voice masking is used for identifiable voices. Before posting about DA in social media, we're asked to first talk to the PI committee, and here's the GSB statement from 2011. Quote, when using a website or any social media platform where DA members and non-DAs mingle, we should be aware that it's a form of public media. If we reveal our membership in DA along with our full name and or photograph, this would be in conflict with the spirit of traditions 11 and 12. The AA long form says 11 reminds us that there is no personal ambition in AA. If I have time, I have a personal experience with tradition 11. Sometime in the late 90s, I believe, perhaps through New York GSR or Intergroup, I was put in touch with a reporter who wanted to write a newspaper article about DA. I had a little trepidation about my anonymity. I'm very guarded about that. So I received guidance from the Intergroup or GSR rep. After the interview, the reporter asked if I was willing to be photographed. No photo, no publisho. So I explained about anonymity, how my image or likeness could not be used, how my last name could not be used, and we negotiated. I would be photographed from behind wearing my cowboy hat to cover easily my easily recognizable bald spot. And she and her photographer would follow me doing grocery shopping in a supermarket. The journalist felt this was a tangible way she could thus illustrate how I worked DA. In the end, I opted to participate because I chickened out because of the photo, but I now feel that the parameters had been respected and in line with our traditions. You know, raise your hand if you agree. So that's a personal experience with Tradition 11. So to wrap up, from this homework that I got from the host committee on Tradition 11, I learned that spreading the message of DA is a gradual process of attraction which respects our anonymity. I didn't mean to make DA come across as bossy. If I did, I'm sorry about that, but here's my take. The steps and the traditions are but suggestions. They guide us in our recovery. 11 is an important tradition to know. Well, they all are.
And 1 minute.
Thanks. And to be able to explain to other members and to the newcomer, like, it's really good to know about them. People familiar with the traditions need to actually, in my opinion, speak up to dispel ignorance and stand up for the traditions for the greater good of the fellowship. And then we have the concepts that no one gets punished for ignoring the traditions. We make mistakes and we learn from them. I also suggest sponsors go through them with their sponsees after working the steps. The trads were originally written by AAs who learned from their mistakes, and they were adapted for DA. The traditions are in place for many reasons, not the least of which are unity, spirituality, and the growth of the fellowship. here are three things about the 11th tradition I want you to take away from this session. One, Debtors Anonymous is not anonymous. Our members are. Meetings, and two, meetings can be announced in the media, not specific individuals. And three, public outreach is necessary to reach as many debtors as possible. And I will share in the chat the that PI manual. And thank you. Thanks for letting me share.
That's great. Thanks so much, Jeff. Our next speaker on Tradition 12 is Stephen C.
Hi, I'm Stephen C. And I earn more than I spend. Thanks, Jeff. And thanks, Maureen. I feel as though I've got some tough acts to follow. I prepared for this by reading in the 12 and 12, the Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I feel as though I'm the personality that has to be ever reminded to place the principles first. I had an experience when I was in college. I used to draw a comic strip, and I decided to draw it anonymously. This was before any kind of program. I came in through the beverage program. I was drinking and smoking pot and carrying on in college. And one of the things that I did was draw this anonymous comic strip. And one day I was hanging out with these people, completely random after class. And one of them said, "You're the guy who draws that comic strip." You know, like, and like my anonymity was broken spontaneously. And I spent like, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours partying with these people, you know, like, and afterwards I felt like an overdose from the fame of like being, you know, connected with this thing, you know, which I had drawn anonymously. So like, no, I wouldn't get in any trouble for all the crazy ideas that I thought I had, you know, like, and, so it was like an interesting experience pre-recovery, and not long after that, I got my first credit card. I think I bought an engagement ring for somebody. I had no idea how I was going to pay it off, you know, like, and, you know, eventually at some point, I think that engagement ring wound up being thrown into the ocean, you know, like we didn't get married, you know, like, I got into DA, after getting into the beverage program, and I met someone at a New York dance that's held every year in the Marriott or one of those big places in the city, and she was in DA. And when I said that they asked me to speak on Tradition 12, she said to me, "Really, you? Because as soon as we met, you told your parents that I was in DA and that I was in AA. You know, like you totally broke my anonymity. So why are they asking you to speak about anonymity? You know, like, so there was that. And early in the beverage program, I got in there because of having been in a relationship with somebody that went sour. And I was pining in these meetings week after week after week, unbeknownst to me, the new boyfriend was in those meetings, and then he and the old girlfriend got together, and he was telling her all the things that I was saying about her in these meetings. So the anonymity was like, it was a mess. It was a total mess, you know, like, so I had a lot of experience, I think, with the principle being broken by the personalities, you know, to go by, to like, to see like what not to do, you know, like, I got into DA, I guess just shy of 20 years ago after a DA share a day, after having watched this girlfriend who later became the mother of my son. And then she became my wife. But in this year, I watched her go through this, like these crazy concepts and ideas of like putting money in envelopes before you were going to buy something, not using credit cards. You know, I think our first summer we went to, we went on three vacations. I was putting the money in the envelopes for the first two. Then I ran out of money and I ended up using my credit card, you know, like, and then I wound up in the DA share a day. And by Christmas, I was trying to do this. And I had this big beer bottle thing full of coins. It was a bank. And we had broken it open. And I had spent the bag of quarters. I had spent the bag of dimes. I had a bag of nickels left. And that was like between me and my solvency was this bag of nickels. I was counting out the bag of, you know, the dimes at the Chinese restaurant to pay for food. And then a check came. And that was like the beginning of the miracles for me. You know, like just putting my solvency first. And so what does this anonymity mean to me? I think that it's been really important for me to feel safe in the meetings, to be able to speak and know that that conceptually other people aren't going to be talking about what I'm going through, you know, like, you know, I've learned over the years to pick and choose when I want to break my own anonymity with someone else, you know. Like
5 minutes.
Thank you. I had an experience at work where another person was talking about all of the issues that they were having with their debt. And, you know, and I chose to very carefully let this person know that I was in DA and that we operated by these principles, and they eventually made their way to DA, you know, and are on their own journey with this, you know, like, and, you know, for me, I think that the ability to be able to go to a meeting, you know, I'm full of judgment about everybody around me, and know that there's this principle that I'm not going to be gossiping about people, that I'm not going to be sharing what they say in the meeting, even to my wife, who knows me or may even know them, you know, after the meeting, if she's not there, you know, like, so I think it's been really important for me to, in some ways, I feel like this tradition protects you from people like me, who's full of himself and believes he knows what everybody should be doing. You know, like I have a mother who thinks that she basically knows what everybody should do all the time. And I inherited that, you know, like, and so it protects you from people like me. And then it protects me from myself. You know, like I have a fighting chance ever being reminded to try to put the principles before my personality. I have a fighting chance to, you know, to stay out of my own way and just try to be a worker among workers, to be a recovering person among other recovering people, you know, to remember that if I'm going to give other people service, I have to be getting the service, you know, and I also have found that, even though I'm so full of judgment, like in my home group, I go to the Brooklyn DA Tools for Abundance meeting, meets on Saturday mornings. When I'm in that group, even though I may have judgment about all of these different people, sometimes something that someone says that I might be judging is exactly what I need to hear, you know? Like, so I have this opportunity to kind of get out of my own way, I think, by practicing all of these principles. And particularly by the safety that there is in the meetings, because we have this thing called anonymity. You know, like it protects me from myself, it protects you from me, and it protects me from other people as well. You know, like because, you know, there's quite a bit of personalities in all of these 12-step programs and in DA as well. You know, like, I have a real opportunity to recover if I'm practicing all of these principles in all my affairs as much as I can, you know, can do. But I also have the possibility of being human and you know, like the understanding that there's a difference between my personality and what I believe DA is and what DA is as outlined by the group conscience of the entire room. So many times I have thought the meeting should be doing specific and particular things, and then it gets completely voted down in a business meeting, and I am completely humbled, you know, like, and I think that's important lessons for me to learn, because part of what was a significant portion of my disease is that the rules don't apply to me. Like, I think that if I just ignore the rules, the world will quietly readjust itself so that they don't apply to me, you know, like, and so I'm trying one day at a time as best as I can to practice these principles all my affairs. I've almost got 20 years of solvency. I got myself out of debt with the help of the program, with the help of other debtors, you know, who were seeking help themselves. I think that my spirituality is tied right into all of this stuff. And, you know, it is definitely a spiritual program. And I think it's a spiritual program for people who want it, you know, like not necessarily always for people who need it, because there are sometimes people out there that need it and they don't really want it, you know, like. So I think that's enough out of me. Maybe you guys would get a fighting chance at getting some talking in edgewise before this meeting closes. Thank you very much.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks to all of our speakers.